1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians. All right, let's start with verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your precious word. I thank you for using it to help us in every aspect of our lives. Father, I pray today that you would do that once again, that you would help us to see just what a wonderful help you are to us and how you supply that help to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we start this series through 1 Corinthians, that it would be a blessing to all of us, that it would be an encouragement to us, that it would show us the riches that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Today, as we start our series through 1 Corinthians, I believe this will be an encouraging and informative study. As with any study of any book of the Bible, it is good for us to understand the historical and cultural background from which it is written. This will help us gain richer meaning from the text and better equip us as we apply this to our lives. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul during his third missionary journey in the city of Ephesus around A.D. 55. Paul started the church in Corinth during his second missionary journey in A.D. 51. So at the time of this writing, the church is only about 3 or 4 years old. As recorded in Acts 18, this is where he met Aquila and Priscilla and worked with them as a tent maker while he preached the gospel there in Corinth. Much like Rhode Island, Corinth was a very strategic place to start a church. It was a seaport with a large, diverse population. The population was about 500,000 people, including Romans, Greeks, Jews, and Orientals. This was reflected in the population of the church as well. Some were Jews that embraced Christ. Others were non-Jews, otherwise known as Gentiles, that were converted from paganism, from the pagan culture that they lived in. The culture of Corinth posed many obstacles to the gospel of Christ being accepted. Corinth was a place that had earned a reputation for immorality. In the temple of Epaphrodite, there were 1,000 prostitutes available for their pagan worship. This temple worship gave people a religion that hindered them from accepting the gospel of Christ. Being a Greek city, Corinth was also known for its love of philosophy and oration. Much like the society we live in today, worldly wisdom set firmly against the principles of Christianity. Sports played a significant role in the Corinthian society. An athletic festival known as the Isthmian Games was held in Corinth. Only the Olympian Games were more popular at the time. So like our society, where sports have an oversized presence, it created a culture contrary to following the Lord. However, despite all these cultural obstacles, we see God plant a church there in Corinth. We see him plant this church in Corinth, and we see him plant a body of believers for his kingdom work. As Martin puts it, in such a place, by the grace of God, the ministry of his servant Paul, a church was formed. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I believe God is doing the same thing right here in Rhode Island. As we see him establish Beacon Church as a body of believers for his kingdom work. Now, I would like us to understand why this letter was written to the church at Corinth. When Paul left Corinth, he took Aquila and Priscilla to Ephesus. Paul left them in Ephesus and then stopped in Jerusalem on his way to ending his second missionary journey in Antioch. Shortly after this, Paul started his third missionary journey, making his way across Asia Minor, then arriving back in Ephesus. This is when Paul was informed of the welfare and events involving the Corinthian church. He learned that a man named Apollos had gone to minister at Corinth and later received reports from him on the status of the church. According to 1 Corinthians 16, 17 and 18, three men were sent to Paul and they brought a letter to him posing several questions on a wide variety of subjects. Subjects like divisions in the church, gross immorality, settling disputes in court, marriage and divorce, diet, order and worship, spiritual gifts, offerings, the Lord's Supper, and the bodily resurrection made it clear to Paul that a response was vital in order to help the church at Corinth. What I want us to be encouraged by is that in spite of these many problems the church was facing, God supplied the help needed. That's what I want us to see this morning. I want us to be encouraged that although we face obstacles in our culture, and that although we may face problems, a multitude of problems, we can rely on the Lord for help. We all face a multitude of problems in our lives, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have help available to us. What I would like us to see from our study of the first three verses here in Corinthians is by what means we receive our help. I believe this will encourage us as a church and as individuals that God wants to help all believers in Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this passage and see where God wants us to derive our help. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, first of all, I would like us to see that our help will come from the Bible. That our help will come from the Bible. Now, let me explain. We see Paul start this letter by asserting his authority as someone appointed by God to accurately address the issues facing the church at Corinth. This assertion is backed up by three phrases in verse 1. The first phrase, called to be an apostle, indicates that Paul did not call himself. He was appointed to this position by God himself. And we need to understand that God appointed special men to give us his word. And one of those special men was the Apostle Paul. The phrase, through the will of God, indicates that by God's providential working, he had raised Paul to the status of apostle. This didn't happen because Paul willed it to happen. It didn't happen because he had pushed himself into this position. But God in his providence had appointed the Apostle Paul for this very task. And then finally, and most significantly, The phrase of Jesus Christ indicates Jesus Christ is the one who gave Paul the authority to help the Corinthians with the issues they were facing. This also reminds us of how we received the entire Bible from God. I want us to understand how we received this book, the Bible, the one we call God's Word. All Orthodox Christianity believe that the Holy Spirit inspired men of God to write the Scriptures. This inspiration guaranteed we received God's Word without error and can be relied upon to be completely accurate in all of its accounts of events. It also means that the Scriptures are the highest and final authority to teach and to guide every believer in Jesus Christ. If you go onto our website, you'll see our statement of faith, what we believe. And this is very similar to our statement of faith on the Scriptures. And you can go to any Bible-believing church or Orthodox Christian church, and you'll see a similar statement there. Why? Because this is what God has conveyed as truth about His Word to the church. This inspiration from God is actually what we see in 1 Corinthians and many other writings of the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Peter, a man who walked with Jesus Christ during his entire ministry, including his death, burial, and resurrection, recognized this fact about the Apostle Paul in his own scriptural writings in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like us to turn there and read 2 Peter chapter 3 as he talks about the Apostle Paul here. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Second Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Okay, so verse 14 says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him, by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist in their own destruction, as they do all the rest of the Scriptures." So I want us to see something here. I want us to see that Peter, the Apostle Peter, a man who walked with Jesus Christ, who saw his death, burial, and resurrection, who understood the teachings of Christ, recognized the Apostle Paul as someone appointed by God to teach us what God's will is and to write the Scriptures. And he even attested to the fact that Paul's writings were the Scriptures. This is amazing. So in this passage, Peter is also addressing Christians who need help. He's addressing Christians who need help from the Lord. Where does he tell them to go for help? The writings of the Apostle Paul. You see, that's what we need to remember in this. God wants to give us his help. He has help available for every one of us. And the Bible is a big source of that help. So if you are looking for help from God, the place to go is the Bible. As we read, meditate, memorize, and study it, we will receive tremendous help from the Lord. Now, secondly, I want us to look at verse 2 back in 1 Corinthians. It says in verse 2, "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Now, secondly, I would like us to see that help comes from our position in the eyes of the Lord. Help comes from our position in the eyes of the Lord. The phrase, "the church of God, which is at Corinth," assures us that this letter was written for the congregation of believers at Corinth. This congregation of believers is further described in a way that shows their position in the eyes of God. And that's what I want us to see here. More than ever, I want us to realize what our position is in the eyes of God, because it greatly affects how we relate to God and how we feel about how He relates to us. They are described as sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, according to Piccirilli, the tense of the word sanctified suggests a present state, something that God looks at us in a present state, that resulted from an earlier decisive action. To sanctify is to set apart to God. Now, because these people had made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, they were set apart by God. If you have made a decision in your life to follow Jesus Christ, you are set apart in the eyes of God. He looks at you as a sanctified, holy vessel. And that's important, because a lot of times we look at ourselves as still dirty in the eyes of God, and that is our wrong concept when looking at ourselves as we relate to God. Okay? We are sanctified in the eyes of God. This setting apart was the basis for these Christians being called saints. Their position as saints wasn't based on their goodness, but purely on the fact that they, like believers everywhere, called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we often think we are not good enough for the Lord to help us. That's something I think the devil puts in our mind. As we face our problems and we face our trials, the first thing the devil tries to put in our mind is, well, you made this mess, it's your fault, you're not good enough for God's help, and he's not going to give it to you. Well, I want you to understand that is not a biblical concept of your relationship as a believer in Jesus Christ. A biblical concept is you, because you called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, are holy and sanctified in the eyes of the Lord. And He looks at you through the eyes of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He wants to help you. It comes because of your position in Christ, not because of who you are. Despite all of your wrongdoing, despite all of the wrongdoing of the Christians at Corinth, they were identified with Christ and could rely on God to help them. They could rely on His help. Despite all the things, the problems and the wrongdoings they were facing, they could rely on God's help, not because of what they'd done, but because of their position in the eyes of God. If you have called on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul, You are a saint in the eyes of God. Because of your position as a saint, you can rely on help from God despite your wrongdoings and shortcomings. Your sin is washed away in the eyes of God because of your identity with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, God wants to send you His help because He knows you need it. And He loves His Son and those identified with Him. You see the difference there? That's how we need to think in our relationship with the Lord. This leads to my next point and my final point. Look at verse 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, I would like us to see help comes from a God wanting to bestow grace and peace on us. Help comes from a God wanting to bestow grace and peace on us. The fact that this greeting is included in every one of Paul's letters tells us that the truth conveyed is for all Christians. It really does. It tells us that this truth that's conveyed in this verse is for all Christians. The word grace, according to Piccirilli, is the undeserved bestowal and experience of the saving favor of God. It is in the very character of God to help those who need it, even though they may not deserve it. Did you hear that? It is in the very character of God to help those who need it, even though they don't deserve it. That is what we need to understand. Our God wants to help us. And He looks on all of those who are calling on His name with favor, and He wants to help us. Now, the word peace here, according to Barrett, is the total state of well-being to which men are admitted. Let me repeat that. Barrett says, peace is the total state of well-being which men are admitted. Now, this reminds me of the words of Jesus when He said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. You see, I want us to see something about this verse. I'm going to read that verse again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world I give to you. Our Lord looks at us with favor as He seeks to generously, faithfully, and perfectly give us His peace. Not as the world gives, right? Stingily, inconsistently, erratically, but faithfully, generously, and perfectly. That is how God gives us His peace. And that peace is in Him. His peace. The peace of the Lord. Isn't it peace? Isn't peace the ultimate help? Isn't peace the ultimate help? Think about that for a minute. We all want to have peace in our lives. Whatever our circumstances, whether it be our health, the loss of a loved one, finances, relationships, and so on, the ultimate help is peace from Jesus. We Think about that for a minute. Isn't that what we all want? We dream about what our dream scenario would be in our lives. And you know what they all probably boil down to? Peace. Peace. I think of being on a beach with the calm waves just rolling onto the shore. You know what I'm saying? It's peaceful, right? Hey, that's what the Lord wants to give us. That is the help. The help is His peace. His peace in whatever circumstances we may face. That help is available to you. You can find it as you read and meditate on the Bible. As you remember your position in the eyes of the Lord. And know that He wants to graciously bestow His peace on you.